Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Let's repeat this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.8.41. It is chapter 24 in the teachings of Queen Kunti. Cutting off ties of affection.
अथ विश्वेश विश्वात्मन् विश्वमूर्ते स्वकेषु मे स्नेहपाशमिमं चिन्धे दृढं पाण्डुषु वृष्णिषु.
ओ लॉर्ड ऑफ द यूनिवर्स, सोल ऑफ द यूनिवर्स, ओ पर्सनालिटी ऑफ द फॉर्म ऑफ द यूनिवर्स, प्लीज देयरफॉर सेवर माय टाई ऑफ अफेक्शन फॉर माय किन्समेन द पांडवास एंड द वृष्णीस. Let us see some beautiful section of the purport of Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and Vrishnis. And who are the Pandavas? Pandavas are her own sons, and the Vrishnis are the members of the paternal family. Krishna was equally related to both families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Shri Krishna to remain with her sons Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti. Therefore, she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. You see, the material world is created in such a way that sometimes you will become confused in life due to the very strong affectionate family ties. I'll tell you a practical example. You see, Karna was on one side, Arjuna was on the other side. So, both were Kunti's sons in the battle. Is it not true? Now, if Kunti desires that the Kauravas lose and Pandavas win, then who also loses? Karna also loses. Similarly, if she says that let Karna be saved, then Arjuna is killed. So, this leads to a state of bewilderment in this world. Similarly here, she is saying, my dear Krishna, the Vrishnis are awaiting you for a long time, the Yadus, that you have been with us always. Now, Krishna was in Vrindavan, now later on Krishna came to Mathura, and then Dwaraka, and then he went to Hastinapur to help the Pandavas in the battle of Kurukshetra. By becoming the charioteer. Now the battle is over now. Kuntimanan is saying, how nice it will be if you just stay with us only. You don't go back. But then she is thinking of the Vrishnis. Oh, they are also related to me through my maternal family. Paternal family. From the father's side. So then she is feeling some kind of affection for them. Then she is thinking, oh, let them be happy with you, so you go back. But then if you go back, then we will be unhappy. Like that she is thinking. Because in the material world, this kind of complications can come because our resources are limited and our attachment and affections for multiple relatives. Sometimes you do good to one, the other one suffers in this world. Like for example, you wanted to get a job, you are praying, and you got a job, then somebody has to lose the job. Is it not? In this world. Is it clear, this voice? It's clear? Sure? Last line? Last row, yeah. So, if you get a job, then somebody lost the job. Isn't it? Similarly, somebody wanted to marry a girl. So, he is very happy that I got the girl, but somebody has lost the girl. Isn't it? That is the way this world is. Created like this. So, one gains and other loses in this world always. So one attains good fortune, other attains misfortune. Is it not in this world? So this world is a very bewildering place, confusing place. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, in the spiritual world, there is nothing like that. For example, if you want to dance for Krishna's pleasure, anybody else can dance also for Krishna's pleasure. And there is no scarcity there. Isn't it? In spiritual world, there is no dearth of prasadam also. Any unlimited quantity of prasad can be produced. The cow produces milk, unlimited supply of milk, on any time of the day. Like that. Similarly, the kalpavriksha trees, they give any type of fruit, any time of the day. Even in off-season, the trees can give you mango fruit, if you want. Not only in summer. So, the spiritual world is a place of abundance, and the spiritual world is a place of joy, happiness. And Krishna can never be separated from you in the spiritual world. Because Krishna is permanently with his devotees. Whereas here, she is telling, my heart is attached to Pandavas also, and Vrishnis also. And my heart is simultaneously desiring to give, the chance of your association to both. To Pandavas also, Vrishnis also. And the material world is characterized by space and time, which bring about limitations in this world. So that's why she is lamenting. Imagine, for example, say a man is married to a woman. Now, his wife and his sister, they both are going for an interview. But there is only one job. And he is the man who has to decide. Isn't it? So what do you think he will do? If you are in that position, what you will do? There is a job for your wife or for your sister. Only one out of the two. What you will do? See, our Vasudeva is so much glorified in Bhagavatam because actually Vasudeva had many wives and he had also many sisters also. So he gave, so much to his sisters also. In charity, she would carry saris and, ornaments and everything. But his wives never felt jealousy because he kept them also happy. Very amazing, no? Sometimes amongst women there will be competition. Yeah, you are giving gift to them, you are giving sari, you are giving ornaments, you are giving this, what about me? They could keep both happy. So how many of you will give the job to your wife? Of course, right now you are not married, but when you are married. How many of you will give to your sister? Hey, they are really confused. Very difficult to ask. So in spiritual world, you won't have this problem. Because spiritual world, both can get job simultaneously. Because there is no dearth. You see, like Lord Rama is returning to Ayodhya from after killing Ravana, you see. And then some monkeys come and whisper in his ears, my dear Lord, our monkeys are desiring to also come to Ayodhya for your Pattabhishek. Lord Rama says, what is the problem? Most welcome, all of you come. I am going ahead. They said, no, my dear Lord, you and Lakshman and Sita are all sitting in the beautiful swan carrier. Our monkeys are saying they are very tired now after the war. So they also would like to accompany you. Lord said, never mind, come, call everybody. And how many, hundreds and thousands and lakhs of monkeys. One by one, dub, 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 they started jumping in. Jumping in and sitting and occupying the places. And all of them could fit in. Lakhs of monkeys. Everybody. Imagine if you have a car, Maruti car, if a man is sitting with his wife in the front and three more people can sit behind. And if two more devotees left out, he has to say, sorry. Sorry, Prabhu, there is no place. It's filled. But Lord has known such a limitation. He could accommodate everybody and take them to Ayodhya in his plane. Now you may ask, Prabhuji, how big was the size of the plane, How many heads could fit in? That we don't have to worry. Lord knows how to adjust. So, there is no limitation of space and time in the spiritual world. Whereas in the material world, if one has one thing and another one doesn't have it. That is why Kunti Maharani is feeling some kind of, confusion and bewilderment in her heart. That if I tell you to stay with us, then the Vrishnis will cry. If you go and stay with Vrishnis, then we feel separation from you. In this way, This metal world creates bewilderment. And she's saying, why is it arising from? Because I am feeling some skin connection to these two people. Prabhupada calls it as skin disease, he says. It's a skin disease, actually not a skin problem. Skin disease is bodily consciousness. He calls it bodily consciousness. Like all of us sitting here, if you see, although a devotee may be chanting 16 rounds and following 4 rigs and everything, you love your brother more than other devotees. How many of you agree? If you have a brother, correct now? Why is it so? Your brother doesn't even, you know, he still has a mustache and he wears lungi, you know. He doesn't chant even one round also in Hare Krishna. One Mahamantra also he doesn't chant. Why do you feel so much affection for him than even the devotees, fellow devotees are living with you, chanting 16 rounds, rising in the morning, doing such wonderful devotion service? You feel more brotherhood with your blood brother than with these devotees, isn't it? Why is it so? What is it called? It's called bodily consciousness. What is it? Bodily consciousness. Bodily consciousness means we identify with our material body more than with our souls. If you identify with the soul, you will feel strong connection to devotees. If you identify too much with the body, we will feel identification with family members. Like we have seen when some boys want to join full-time as brahmacharis. Yeah, that is a very period of great tussle in their heart. I remember in those days there was one boy in IIT Mumbai, in my college days. He used to go to Juhu temple. So that Manohar, you know, he wanted to join full-time. So he told the brahmachari, Prabhuji, my course is over, I want to join full-time. Brahmachari said, why not? Most welcome, come. Of course, he went to ashram, he was in dhoti kurta. Not yet shaved the head and all. He had just gone to the ashram, he had kept a little hair. So mother and father came to the temple. Where is our son? So he was trying to hide behind the president, you know. And then when mother came, when he looked at the mother, immediately he of course went and sat with mother and father. Started crying. Mother and father, they said, beta, what is this? You want to join full time? First come home, let us talk at home. They put him in their pocket and took him away. And that was the end of his joining full time. He couldn't join because some children are very attached to parents. Of course, we don't mind them getting married and settled. But brahmachari life is like a warrior's life. If a warrior has to go to Kargil war, you know, imagine in our Pune battalion, somebody was trained for 10 years. Every morning he got up, left, right, left and all that. After 10 years, now the Kargil war is happening and he is getting a call from Indian Army. Come immediately. 300 soldiers from Pune should be transported to Kashmir borders. There is going to be a war with Pakistan. And his mother is crying. Beta, don't go. You are my only son. She is crying and he also. He cries. If he is crying, what kind of soldier is he? He has to be willing to lay down his life for saving the country. Similarly, of course, for him to save the country and lay down his life, he has to be willing to give up his tie of affection. Correct, no? To his mother and father. How many of you say he will stay back at home? Anybody? Nobody. So you all are convinced that he has to go for the war. So going for the war involves some amount of breaking the heart of parents. You agree? Correct, no? Mother is generally very tender and emotional. She is going to cry. And he may tell her, mother, if I stay at home, what will happen? Because when it comes to war, there is a question of life and death. Many, many people's lives can be a threat in a war for saving the country. You know, in the Shivaji Maharaj's time, there were so many Muslims. All over India, ruling. But somehow Shivaji Maharaj was so smart, he kept them in bay. In whatever kingdom he was ruling, that much area, Muslims just couldn't put their foot at all. So, of course, but the problem was, Shivaji was fed up that all the Hindu kings were fighting amongst themselves. Very badly fighting, foolishly. Because, you know, when the cows are fighting amongst themselves, they become a feast for the lion. Is it not true? That's what happened to India. So many of the Hindu kings got cheated. If you read the real history of India, you will really cry. Like you see this Padmini with 13,000 servant maids, she entered into fire when a Muslim king wanted to enjoy her body. Actually, the queens in India, they would not even eat some poison and die. Why? Because after their death also, some Muslim king can humiliate her by misusing her body. That is why they would completely desecrate their bodies or enter into fire. Like that they would do. So then Muslim kings can't even touch them. So, in Shivaji Maharaj's time, one time it so happened that some Muslim king was besieging from all sides with lot of soldiers. There were many, many mountains, hills. So they were supposed to climb those mountains and get down and then come down like this and then come to the Shivaji's kingdom and then start the attack. So those people were plenty. They were almost like 10,000 people. They were planning to besiege and come. And they were coming at a... Of course, they cannot just jump and immediately come. It may take practically hours and hours. Because they have to come slowly, slowly, slowly. They have to percolate and enter. So, as they were doing, it was evening time, almost 7 o'clock or so. At that time, who was Shivaji's right-hand man? You know that? Very famous. Tanaji. So, Tanaji came and told Shivaji that you see this very big group of some 10,000 soldiers have been sent and they are gradually percolating through the jungle, through the bushes and everything. Immediately you escape. Shivaji asked, if I escape, what will happen to all of you? They said, no, we will manage. Because, you know, our manpower is not enough to defeat these people. We have to come up with some idea by which we can drive these people away. So what they did after 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, because in those days only lamps used to be there in homes, no? There was no electricity. So they got practically some, you know, 1,000 bulls. And the bulls, this thing, the horn, they put torches, light, fire. They put fire torches like this. So when those people saw from the mountains, it appeared like they have 10,000 soldiers. And all carrying the fire torch and waiting ready. So they all understood, we cannot win these people. They went away. So, yeah, Shivaji was very smart. In fact, many a time Shivaji did the tricks to escape rather than fight directly because the manpower was less sometimes. But they were ready to lay down their lives also whenever it was needed. That's the life of a Kshatriya, is it not? So if a man has to give his life for the sake of the nation, he cannot take his crying mother very seriously. He should tell the mother, Mom, I love you very much, but I love my country more. You see, if I remain at home, one mother will be happy. But if I go and save the country, I can make a million mothers happy. The whole population of India can be happy. Otherwise, once the fellows enter into India, they will again ruin the whole thing, whole country. So, in the same manner, a higher duty calls us for a higher action. And we forego the lower duty, like this. Similarly, here, Kunti is telling Krishna, Sneha Pashim Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu, she is saying. Chindi means cut. Sneha Pasham Chindi, she is saying. Please cut my tie of affection to these people. Like that she is telling. Because if I have affection, attachment to these people, I will have to be born again in this world. If you have bodily attachment, you have to be born again. You see, there is a real life story of one brahmachari who was living in London temple, who was a disciple of Prabhupada. His name was Raghava Pandit, Prabhu. So, one day just accidentally he got to see a beautiful girl from India. And she had eyes like lotus petals. Of course, only Krishna's eyes are lotus petals. But sometimes women's eyes also look like that for a conditioned soul. So, of course, he saw the eyes were like very attractive. She had long hair and beautiful eyes. And she was from India. Actually, many Westerners are attracted to the beauty of Indian woman. Many times, just like Indians are attracted to Western bodies. Like opposite. In West, they don't like fair, being too fair. They put black powder. And India, people put white powder to become fair. It's the opposite, you see. Anyway, so this fellow was attracted to her and he was looking at her, staring at her. Of course, brahmachari is never supposed to stare at a beautiful woman. because that will lead to fall down. So he was staring at her and he developed some attachment for her. And later on, some accident happened in which he left his body. And then the next janam, he took the body of a woman. The Bhagavatam, it is said, if a man thinks women are nice, then he gets a woman's body in the next life. That is why we have to elevate our consciousness and, you know, rise above our attachment for the opposite sex, you see. Because if a man is too much attached to opposite sex, then he gets the body of a woman. So that woman also started coming over a period of time, because the previous bhakti was there. The bhakti is still there in the heart. Somehow she got a book somewhere. Again she went to the temple in London. And there was some Tribhuvannath Prabhu, who was the temple president there. So this temple started going to temple and developing bhakti. From wherever he had left the bhakti, he continued that. And then eventually this girl became serious. So the Tribhuvannath Prabhu says that actually this girl showed such intense devotion and seriousness in bhakti, just like the brahmachari is living in the temple. That is why you will find sometimes you find the Mataji is very serious in bhakti. They might have been brahmacharis before sometimes. They have little masculine qualities also. She got initiated by His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj. So her name is Ratnavali Mataji. So this Ratnavali Mataji recollected her previous life. There is a 10-12 page article you will see. So because that brahmachari developed attachment to a woman, he became a woman, you see. Like Puranjan becomes a woman in Bhagavatam, reading the fourth canto. So if we develop attachment, then we have to come back to this world again. Prabhupada said the attachment is what actually pins us down on the material platform in this world. Again and again we come. Like sometimes in a family they say, your grandfather has taken birth again in the family. You heard that in India people say? Many times may be true also. Because they see his mannerisms and speaking style and behaving style very similar to the grandfather or great-grandfather. So you will find, like in my family also, they said my grandfather's father disappeared. They said he has come again as me, he was telling. Because he was very spiritual minded and practically half a day he would spend, you know, in doing puja and everything. So sometimes in family they say like that. And it may be true also, Prabhupada writes in one purport. Why it is true? Because if people are attached to a family member and he is attached to others, they become born in the same family over and over again. In the forthcoming generations, vamsh, as we say. So in this way, Kunti is praying that if I become attached to my sons, then I will just keep coming again and again to this world. If I become attached to Krishna, then I'll go back home, back to Godhead. That is her point here, like she's saying here. And another reason she's telling, I want to develop attachment only for you. Why? Because this kind of attachment to my children causes a lot of, you know, anxiety for me, she's telling. Like all of you, you have attachment for your mother and father. If your mother gets sick, will you not be in anxiety? You will be naturally. So in this world, when we develop attachment, that attachment absorbs our mind. You know, we take suffering and anxiety for a long period of time. Actually, worry cannot solve a problem. Can it solve a problem? No. Some action can solve a problem. But still we keep worrying. Keep on worrying. Worry sometimes is compared to a rocking chair. A rocking chair, you know, moves like this, but doesn't get ahead at all. In the same manner, worry means we keep worrying about it. And that worry also causes disease also eventually for us. So, she is telling that my mind is worrying about my children Pandavas. I am also worrying about Vrishnis. In this kind of worry, I am unable to remember you, she is telling. So, cut this tie of affection and let me remember you. That is the main point here. You see, when we... actually, psychologically you can see, who more you are attached to, the picture of their form comes in your mind time to time. Remember them. This is one way for you to know whom you are attached to in this world. So they are the people who come in the eye of your mind, the picture of them, and they're speaking, they're laughing, they're joking, they're dealings with you. That comes in your mind. And that is called as smaran bhavam. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. And we are likely to attain that destination. If somebody's mind becomes filled with Leela Cheshtas of Krishna, activities of Krishna in the spiritual world, and along with his friends, along with his parents and everything, his heart is like a playground of Krishna's pastimes, as Shastras call it. Such a person is sure shot going to land in spiritual world. There is no doubt. Because that is something that is very attractive to his heart, and he is constantly meditating and relishing, appreciating, sharing. So, sneha pasha mimam chindi, she is telling. So, I will not be troubled by all these partialities, in my mind, she is telling. So, this is one reason she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. Like you all know, in the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna also had a problem. What was his problem? Anybody knows? He told Krishna, isn't it? Senyo rubyor madhye ratam sthapayame. Take the chariot in between the two armies. So Krishna took it. Then what happened after that? Why Arjuna started crying? He was bewildered by seeing his relatives in the battle. Some of his cousins, some of his uncles, some of his martial masters, like Dronacharya and all, elders like Bhishma. When he saw all of them, it was difficult for him. He couldn't just take it. How will I kill all these people? I can't even have a verbal battle with them. Like he said, Guru na hatva hi mahan bhavan. He said, these people I can't even have a verbal battle. How can I kill them in the battle? It's very difficult. You see, Brahmachari joining ashram also is very similar to this. Because in one sense, when he sees his brother, sister, mother, father crying, it's like Arjuna having to fight with his own relatives. A Brahmachari also fights with his own relatives. Not only for Brahmachari, even for a grihastha also. Because if you become a grihastha tomorrow, say you want to marry a devotee girl who is not of the same caste. So many parents don't like it. They say, you marry somebody whom we will give you. But the problem is, the girl whom they give doesn't want to become a devotee. But you are a devotee. What will you do? Some boys say, Prabhuji, this war is too much. I better surrender to my parents. Instead of surrendering to Krishna, they surrender to parents. And then I tell them, okay, now you are marrying a karmi girl. So it is your duty to make her into a devotee. But what will happen if she doesn't want to become devotee? Then whole life will be miserable. Because, imagine if she has a dozen boyfriends and she wants to go to party. She wants to do a job in the company. And she wants to introduce you to all her friends. You will want to introduce her to Hare Krishna temple. Please wear tilak. Please wear kantimala. Please wear a sari. Don't be in this t-shirt and jeans. Come and become a devotee. But she wants to be on the other direction. Is it not? It will be. So lifelong you have to suffer. Some boys say, Prabhuji, no problem, Prabhuji. What would at least I could please my parents. Then eventually she will change you to become like her. Instead of you making her like a devotee. You understand, no? But some boys face the battle. How they face the battle? They tell the parents, I have to marry only a devotee girl. But parents sometimes say, Beta, are you going to hear us or are you going to hear Hare Krishna's? Then the boy, still if the parents don't agree, the boy says, I'm going to become Brahmachari now. Then the parents will come running. They will say, Beta, you marry anybody. North Indian, South Indian, East Indian, West Indian, never change. Or American also, no problem. You marry. Then the boys take a devotee girl and marry after that. So, that means, you have to fight the battle, even if you are going to be married. Like there is one devotee in Bombay, his father told him, if you are going to be Hare Krishna, you will not get a single penny from me. You have to leave the home with your current pant and shirt, with no coin in your hand. Take your wife with you, get out of the house. Or give up that Hare Krishna and stay with me and run my business. And one round also you should not chant Hare Krishna. So the devotee said, no problem, I will leave home and I will go to the street empty handed. Do you know that? He went. And practically in the next 10-12 years he developed his business, developed his job, and he became well settled in life. Later on, his father, when he became old, his father was taken care by Hare Krishna devotees. Then his heart changed. Then he called his son back after that. But why I am telling you, all of you, every one of you sitting here, you will face this battle in your life. Like once Prabhupada said, Even if you take one Hare Krishna boy, give him 50 crore rupees and a young beautiful girl, he will not accept. Prabhupada said. Because imagine if somebody gives you a young beautiful girl and you want to enjoy with her and he gives you 50 crore rupees, then what else you want? 50 crores you put in the bank with the interest you can run your life. And Prabhupada said, even if you give these two things to your Hare Krishna devotee and say, give up your chanting, give up your spiritual life and live like a karmi, a devotee will not accept. Prabhupada said that. Because a devotee is firmly attached to Krishna. And then of course Prabhupada told the devotees, you have to live up to this, what I told now. So then, Prabhupada said, even one cigarette they will not smoke if you give them 1 crore rupees also. Prabhupada said, yes. And all devotees were amazed. Prabhupada has so much trust in us. And after the person went, Prabhupada said, so, I have made the statement, you all live up to this. So, yes, we have to live up to that. Because the devotee, for the sake of Krishna, a devotee is ready to forego anything. You see. So she is telling that in this way, like I told you, Arjuna had to kill his relatives. Similarly, whether you become a grihastha or a brahmachari, to hold on to Krishna and follow what Krishna says, one has to face the battle. Arjuna had to face the battle against his relatives and he did it. Similarly, Kunti also feels that I have a tug of war going on in my mind. One side of the tug, who is there? My Pandavas and, you know, Pandavas and Vrishni's attachment to them. On the other side is attachment to you. So it's like two vectors. One vector is, you know, so your relatives bent or your Goloka bent. Like we say now, a person is hell bent, we say now. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Goloka bent. Goloka bent means he was constantly remembering Krishna. So if that vector becomes bigger than this vector, then you will go back to Godhead. If the downward vector, which is downward vector? Which one? Attachment to family, friends, relatives, this world. So if that becomes more, then you come back again to this world. Then Prabhupada says, a pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical examples is the band of 6 Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes, Brahmanas. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. Now comes a very important sentence. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a Brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. You see? Prabhupada says, generally people think if you become a sadhu, you're leaving everything and, you know, some people think it's a failure. You've seen that? You've seen people thinking like that? Hey, usko engineering padhai kiya? Sadhu ban gaya ho? Kya ho gaya? Bich mein kya ho gaya? Many people ask the parents, your son became a monk? What happened? Did he have any love failure? Did he try for a job and he couldn't get any job? He must have tried for a job here, there, and nobody gave him a job, so he became a monk. People think like that. In fact, people even asked me, one fellow after lecture, he came and asked me, Prabhuji, aapka M.Tech pura ho gaya na? One fellow asked me. I said, arre, M.Tech pura karke, hum uske baad 3 saal naukari bhi kiya. I told them. Thik hai. Like that people talk. Or sometimes people ask, aur kuchu aapke jivan mein, anything happened? Why did you leave everything and join? Many are bewildered actually. Here Prabhupada is saying these fellows, 6 Goswamis, they were most enlightened and belonged to cultured rich families of Brahmana caste. They were Saraswat Brahmins. But for the benefit of mass population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. And then Prabhupada says, to cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a Brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. And then he gives example. Lord, the personality of Godhead as ideal king showed by this example. Lord Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest qualities of an ideal king. You all know, some people ask, why did Ram send Sita to jungle? She was completely innocent and pure-hearted and faultless. In fact, she even underwent Agni Pariksha also, after coming out of Lanka, and she came out untinged by any impurity. So why should she be sent to jungle? In fact, Lord Ram sets the example of ideal king, Adarsha Raja. Because one of his praja, one dobi, was telling his wife, yesterday night I don't know where you were, and you're coming in the morning. It's likely that you must have slept with some other man. You know, I will not accept you in my home. Get out of here, he said. And she cried. He said, your crying is useless. Don't think I will become sentimentally soft-hearted like our King Ram, who accepted Sita after she spent, you know, several months with the Rakshasa Ravana in Lanka. I am not like Ram, he said. So one jasus, one spy heard it and went and told to Ram. And told Ram, he said, oh, my praja is having some misconception about me, misunderstanding. Because if people think a Raja has done a blunder mistake, then they will imitate and do the same thing. Like if a PM or a OC in the voice, if he sleeps in the morning time during chanting, then all the boys will also go and sleep. They will say, Prabhuji is sleeping, setting such a nice example for us. You know, everybody will go to the room and peacefully sleep. So, when they see that the seniors are getting up in time, pakka attending the morning program without any compromise, then everybody will follow. That's why Ram also wanted to follow, setting a very wonderful example. So he sent away Mother Sita to the jungle, although she was completely faultless. So Prabhupada says, in this way Lord Ramchandra renounced. Similarly, you find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was living in Navadvip, at that time, he was the hero amongst everybody in Navadvip. He had hundreds of students who were his faithful followers, loyal followers. In fact, at one time, Nimai Pandit had told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was called as Nimai Pandit at that time. He told everybody in every home, all of you, either you clap hands, or you play kartal, or you play mridangam, but you should do kirtan every evening, he told them. So the whole Navadvip was reverberating with the resounding sound of the holy names. Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, whole Navadvip was ringing like this with the holy name everywhere, anywhere you went. But there is one place called Shiva Sangan there, which is called as Kol Bhanga Danga, it is called. In that place there was a Kol. Kol means the one which you are playing mridangam. So, one Chankazi came there and he broke the Kol, shouting at the Hindus. He thought if I break one Kol, everybody will understand that Muslim king came and went. All the Hindus will become afraid of me and they won't do kirtan. So, when Nimai Pandit came and he understood the things, he became very angry. He said, call everybody in Navadvip. In the evening time, he called everybody with a fire torch. About 1 lakh men he assembled. And they went on a protest march. Prabhupada says, this is called civil disobedience movement, which was done before Gandhi also. Gandhi was second to do it. Nimai Pandit was first. He said, who is there who can stop the kirtan? So Chandkasi, when he went to Chandkasi, Chandkasi was trembling. Chandkasi surrendered to him, Nimai Pandit, completely. So Prabhupada says he was so influential. Not only that, he had a wife who was Vishnupriya, who was goddess of fortune herself. And she was just 16 years old. She was the most beautiful, most submissive, most obedient, most well-behaved. And she had all good qualities, chaste wife. And he had a mother who was Sachimata. And his father had passed away, Jagannath Mishra. And Chachimata is, you know, personification of love. Her heart is exactly heart of Yashoda. You know. And here you find Nimai Pandit is in the best material situation. And he wants to leave this and go for taking sannyas. That's a practical example. He's cutting off the family of tie of affection to the family. You see? So why he went, the reason is given. Maya Amrigam Daita Mepsita Manvadhavad Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. It says that the living beings are all chasing after glittering Maya. And Nimai Pandit wanted to take sannyas to chase after them and bring them to the lotus feet of Krishna. Like that. That's why he is saying here, to cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Not that when you become a monk like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Shankaracharya or Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya, do you think after taking sannyas they were just eating and sleeping? My Lord, if you see their activities, they have broadened their field of activities. If you see Shankaracharya traveled also all over India to drive out Buddhism. Because Buddhism was being followed and people are simply becoming atheistic. Shunyavad. So Shankaracharya re-established the Vedic literature. At that time he traveled and established mathas in four places. You know that? Like Badri Vishal. There is a temple there. Similarly Kanchipuram. Similarly Puri. Which is the other one, fourth one? In these four places there are Shankaracharya, as you will know. Yeah, he established. Kanchipuram. Gujarat is one place. Near Dwarka, yeah. Yes. So why did he do that? Because the different section of people should get north, east, west, south, central, India. Everybody should benefit by his preaching. And then the philosophy spread and whole Buddhism was driven out of India after that. Similarly, you find Ramanujacharya. You know, Ramanujacharya had 12,000 disciples, of which they say about 3,000 or so. 2,000 or 3,000 were sannyasis. And all others were initiated disciples. You can imagine what kind of thudding preaching he was doing. You will find Sri Vaishnavas in North India also, even now. North, East, West, South you find. So he also spread it all over India. And he was basing himself in one place, like Srirangam, which is the main place. And for part of the time in Melukottai. But then he spread it. And he established mathas. He established temples, established deities, established the mode of worship, and also he has given his books in the form of literatures based on the scriptures. And then he trained personally, and he made a group of the senior most men, you know, who further carried on the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. You'll see that. This is broadening the activity. He's not just sitting in one under one small roof and eating and sleeping. That is not a monk. Monk means he leaves a smaller family for a huge family. Vasudhayeva kutumbakam. The whole world becomes his family. And he wants to benefit everybody. He wants to benefit every mother, every father, every brother, every sister. So he considers the whole, all population of the world to be his brothers and sisters. Like that. Similarly, you find Madhvacharya also. Similarly, you find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went all over India. Srila Prabhupada. How much he broadened his activities when he became sannyasi. Not just India, he went all around the world. He traveled 14 times in 12 years. So, this is the most important thing. If it's not, for example, you are resigning from one job, will you resign if you don't have another job? Intelligent boy means what? You are having one job, they are making you work 16 hours a day. So, you are looking for another job. Will you leave this job? You will hold on to it, though it is difficult. But as soon as you get some higher engagement, you can leave the lower engagement. You understand, no? Similarly, in ISKCON, you will find how young men have joined and dedicated their lives because Prabhupada could clearly show them that the spiritual engagement is far more enlivening and enjoyable than the material engagement. Material engagement is with Maya. Spiritual engagement is with Krishna. And Prabhupada one time was giving a lecture in one temple. His only Dhanavir Maharaj attended. Prabhupada was telling, here you get good prasadam. Everybody nodded their head. Yes, we know it. We know it very well. This one is famous for prasad. And he said, here you get good friendships with people. Yes, here there are people who respect each other, who love each other, who treat others with dignity. Not that on your birthday they give a kick on your buttocks, backside. Isn't it? Sometimes people celebrate birthday like that, huh? Isn't it? Similarly, he said, here you get a philosophy that completely satisfies your intellect. Because all the different books, they talk about such a deep, deep philosophy about spiritual world, material world, Ishwaraji, Prakriti, Kala, Karma, everything. And you have so much to discuss with one another and understand deeply. And look at the world around you with the Shastra Chakshu, by which you will not fall prey to the three modes. Isn't it? And then Prabhupada said, what is not here? Everything is here. Prasadam is here, friendship is here, nice knowledge is here. And for your every one of your senses there are engagements. You can do maha cleaning, you can do book dissipation, you can do Harinam Sankirtan, you can cook in the temple, you can have classes. So the temple is like a spiritual world, manifested in the material world. The Prabhupada said everything is there, and then Prabhupada said, in case you are still not satisfied, you want a wife, we can provide you a wife also. Prabhupada said, we have girls who are devotees like you. And then Dhanavir Maharaj saw, hey, this is pretty complete. And he said, even material world, many a times one doesn't get all these things also. Whereas here you get spiritual also and material also, everything you get. That is how Prabhupada was very successful. Because most of the spiritualists in this world, they present spiritual knowledge like a very dry philosophy. Like, you know, extremely dry, like the impersonless. It's like a cake without any oil. So, completely dry. People get bored. I remember in those days, when I used to read the spiritual books, nobody knows what is he trying to say. It's highly complex, talking such a language. So, people sometimes say, ये स्वामी जी इतने बड़े लेक्चर दिए कोई समझ नहीं पाए क्या बोला उसमें तो कुछ होगा ही पता नहीं क्या बोला व्हाट ही सेड नोबडी नोस व्हेयरएज प्रभुपाद राइटिंग्स आर सो क्रिस्टल क्लियर एंड सिंपल फॉलो द फोर ग्रेट प्रिंसिपल्स चैंट 16 राउंड्स एंड ही ऑलवेज कोट शास्त्र ही नेवर सेज एनीथिंग ऑन हिज ओन एनीथिंग ही सेज भगवद्गीता भागवतम कोट इमीडिएटली इन एवरी पेज ऑफ हिज बुक यू फाइंड अ कोट बिकॉज पीपल मे से He is presenting a very beautiful philosophy, you know, of spiritual world and spiritual variety, simply to divert the people to spiritual world, people may say. So he is quoting always. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Puranas, Upanishads, everything is quoting. So, because when we talk about broadening the activity, we have to have engagement for the senses, Prabhupada gave it. And all over the world you find young boys and girls joined this movement. Because they could broaden their activity through this. Like you are a computer specialist, you can work in the computer. You are a wonderful manager, you can do management. And we are also following in Prabhupada's footsteps. In our voice, we make many departments, we give services to people. Somebody likes to manage, make him a manager. Somebody likes to preach, engage him in preaching. Somebody likes to counsel, make him a counselor. Somebody likes to sing, okay, you sing. Somebody likes to dance, okay, dance. Somebody likes to play mridanga, play mridanga. Everybody according to their propensity are able to engage in the Lord's service. And when they do that, they become satisfied. So he's saying further, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. He says, by doing so, he causes a devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Prabhupada gives his own example. Prabhupada says, when he was a businessman, pharmaceutical business he had. And Gaudiya Math Sannyasis used to come, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, and all used to come and meet him in the shop. And Prabhupada would give them a donation. And Prabhupada loved his guru very dearly, you know. And Prabhupada was making a plan, I will earn money. And I will give donation for preaching purpose. My God brothers like sannyasis are all working hard. I am a grihastha. Let me help them. And he was helping also. Sometimes Prabhupada would go to the matha, Gaudiya Math. There the other sannyasis and brahmacharis saw, this person is a grihastha, but he plays mridangam so nicely, he sings so sweetly, and he gives very profound lectures, and he writes very powerfully. His writing was also very powerful. So they went and told Bhaksan Saraswati that, you know, it will be nice if Abhay takes sannyas. And Bhaksan Saraswati said, you know, you don't worry. At the right time, he will do everything. I would say like that. Then when Prabhupada grew up, over the years, his guru left the world. And later on, in 1959, he took sannyas. But prior to that, you know, sometimes his guru would come in the dream and tell him, take sannyas. And he would get up and see, oh, I'm a sannyasi. No, I'm a grihastha. You see that I'm at home. So he had some fear. I had 5 sons. I have to raise them and situate them in family life. How will I take sannyas? One Bhakti Keshav Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, was also telling him, Bhakti Saranga Maharaj also, you should take sannyas. You are very, very qualified man to preach. Amongst all of us, disciples of our guru, you are very qualified. You will do great preaching. Many of them told him. At last Prabhupada decided, yes, now I will take sannyas. He made his sons grow up and get settled in jobs and everything. At one point of time, even much before 1959, Prabhupada started full-time working like a vanaprastha. You know, printing, back-to-godhead magazine, distributing. You see, sometimes grihasthas also say, Prabhu, me and my wife want to become full-time in ISKCON. But they never leave a software company. They work for a long time. The reason is, and unless you put your foot in the other place, you cannot take the previous foot. So, what should a devotee do? A devotee should, if you want to marry, you marry, then come with your wife and render seva. By the time you become 50, 55, naturally you will develop detachment for the material world and you will develop attachment to serve Krishna more and more. Otherwise, if one is situating there only and asking from a distance, making phone call, Prabhuji, you know, is it possible for me to renounce? They cannot renounce. When you get a better job, you leave a previous job. Isn't it? That's why Prabhupada also, gradually he took vanaprastha, then he took sannyas, and then he went around the world and he preached. So, in this way, Prabhupada says that yasyaham anugrihanami harishetad dhanam shanai. That shloka he says. He says, I saw that my material business was not flourishing. There was some accident, and there was some loss of money, there was some looting, somebody looted money. Prabhupada had many places, business, they were not shining, they were not flourishing. On the other hand, Krishna's business was flourishing. Prabhupada saw, you know, he's able to print books and Bhagavatam he could print and Bhakti Godhead he could print and people were taking interest. So Prabhupada said, I could get an indication from Krishna. Krishna says, my dear pure devotee, what are you doing sitting in a pharmaceutical shop? You know, taking chemicals and pouring from one tube to another tube. Don't waste your time there. Come to America and preach. So in this way Krishna ordered him. And then Prabhupada said, it was Krishna's plan that I take sannyas, Krishna's desire. So Krishna literally dragged me towards them. Like that he says. So sometimes people fear that will Krishna drag me also to dedicate my life fully. Like, you know, one father and son came to meet Prabhupada, and the son had become brahmachari in the temple. And then Prabhupada told the father to stay 2-3 days, and he stayed. After that, the father said, wonderful. Your temple is very wonderful. All your brahmacharis, they are also doing very wonderful service. He appreciated very much. Very nice. And then Prabhupada said, what about you? No, Swamiji, I don't want to come now. I don't want some more years to be in my home. And everything said. And Prabhupada said, yes, the Lord gives special mercy to some people. So you want mercy or you want special mercy? Special mercy means Lord takes away everything and says, I am the only person for you. Then you raise your hand and surrender to him. You see, big, rich millionaires have given their life to Krishna. Like you see, Rupa Sanatan, they were from millionaires' family, if you see. In fact, you will find very, very people who are materially successful only go for becoming monks. You will see that. You find people, many of our students have been toppers. They have been 10-pointers. They have been head of the departments. They have been department toppers. Or they have been university toppers. You will always find. This is one reason we try to preach to the toppers, because sometimes amongst the toppers there are people who have done a lot of spiritual life in their previous lives. Now as soon as they give, immediately they pick up and they immediately dedicate their lives. Of course, it doesn't mean that only toppers should dedicate their life, others can't. It's not like that. But the point is, people, Krishna is so attractive that even people who are in very good material positions, they dedicate their lives. Prabhupada talks about on Lal Babu. There's Lal Babu in Bengal, he was a very big jamindar. At one time he became very attracted to Krishna and became a renunciate and he dedicated his life. And he became such a humble sadhu that he even went to the house of his enemy for begging. Completely devoid of false ego, with no ahankar. Prabhupada says that. He never thought, what will my enemy ridicule me? He never thought like that. So in this way, he transcended his ahankar and he went back to God and he became a pure devotee, Prabhupada says. So in this way, Prabhupada says, Kunti was the daughter of Rishni family and wife and mother of the Pandava family. Generally, woman has affection for both her father's family and husband's family. And therefore, Kunti prays to Krishna, I am a woman, and women are generally attached to their families. So kindly cut off my attachment so that I may be thoroughly attached to you. Without you, both families are zero. I am falsely attached to these families, but my real purpose in life is to be attached to you. When Prabhupada says, Bhakti involves becoming free from attachments of this material world and becoming attached instead to Krishna. One cannot become unattached, for one must be attached to something. But in order to become attached to Krishna or enter into devotional service of the Lord, one has to become detached from material affection. People ordinarily go to Krishna, and then he's talking about, give us our daily bread. To live in this material world, they pray for the supplies of material things so that they can maintain their status quo. This is called material attachment, he says. And then Prabhupada says, our suffering is due to our attachment. It's a very solid sentence. What he says? Our suffering is due to attachment. Because we are materially attached, we desire so many material things. And therefore, Krishna gives us the opportunity to enjoy whatever material facilities we want. You remember, I told you one example. Like people, sometimes are attached to eating. Like when they are going from Pune to Bombay, when Lonavala comes, they buy chikki. When Karjat comes, they buy vadapa. When Kalyan comes, they buy some cold drinks. They keep eating, drinking all the while. So there is some attachment. But Shastra say, yes, you have attachment for these things, no problem. But don't fail to reach the destination. Take it by the side. Like if you are going in a car from here to Bombay, you want to reach at 8 o'clock for Bhagavatam, you are going from here, what you should do? Yes, you will reach. You have to go further. But imagine in Lonavala, you take a detour and go in and relax. Then you lose the goal of, going by your car to Bombay. Similarly, our material attachments sometimes, they take upper hand. And our spiritual attachments go down. Like you will see the students, they come for Utkarsh camp. They will be jumping, dancing, ecstatic. They will, like many of the boys, they came and said, Prabhu, this is life. Till now we didn't know what life is. Prabhu, we want to be in Mayapur for all time. We don't want to go back only. They were so happy. But when the students go home, at that time they face difficulty. What happens? The television is going on full blast at home. They get tempted. The old things come back, outside, They hear the music, and their old friends come. They talk this, they talk, and Mala goes to one corner. Prabhupada book goes to another corner. And then after finishing the holidays at home, and they come back, they realize, my Lord, what did I do? When they see the devotees back again, they remember. So in this way, sometimes our material attachments take over. She's saying, many times desire comes in mind to pray for special mercy, which means take away everything. Should I aspire for that mercy? I think that will be quite easy for attachment to Lord. Please enlighten. Actually, you should have a desire. If somebody has a desire to dedicate their lives, either as a brahmachari or a grihastha in any ashrama, we should pray for dedication, attachment to Lord. And if we tell Krishna, Krishna, I want only you as my possession. I don't want anything else. I want only you. Like you see, as soon as Radhana Swami Maharaj, when he came to Bombay, 1986, that whole area of Chaupati Temple, there was Tinkerbell School there. Lot of noise. And 4 or 5 rooms were Bola classes. That was also going on. Lot of noise. In the temple hall in Radhakupana Temple, children would be playing cricket there. When the altar is closed, they can play cricket. In those days, because it was public property, it was not ours. So part of the day children will play cricket, and another part of the day the devotees would use it for morning Mangalarti and all. Can you imagine that place? And Maharaj was living with 3-4 brahmacharis in the ashram, in brahmachari ashram he was staying, along with everybody. And nobody knew how great Maharaj was. They were treating him like any other brahmachari. So, over the years, Maharaj, by his intensity of his devotion and sincerity, he grew up that place. He grew it up. Now you see what miracles are happening from the place. Then the whole temple hall came to Radha Gopinath temple, Chowpatty. Then the Tinkerbell school people vacated the place and went away. That place also we got. Eventually all the Bola classes, they also they quitted the place. They got that place. Now they got the whole place now, practically. Everything is purchased now. Although it was crores of rupees. In this way now, although Maharaj is a monk, practically, actually when his father heard it, in one of the books he says, his father said, "Hey, you went to India with empty hand. Now you have so many disciples, thousands of disciples, and huge temple, and you have expanded into many temples here, there, everywhere. And people are taking you in costly cars. So you can say you have gone from rags to riches," he told them. And Maharaj laughed and said, "Yes, I have gone from rags to riches, but see me, I don't have a single penny in my hand. I don't have a pocket also. He only puts a chadar. I don't have one money to keep in my pocket. I don't keep it." See, this is Krishna's devotee. Krishna's devotee means he may possess a lot, but he doesn't become attached to them. Of course, he may travel by planes, he may travel by caste cars, simply to take the message of Krishna, that's all. Nothing else. But he doesn't want to enjoy anything for himself, not even one farthing also. He doesn't want to enjoy. So, and Prabhupada also was like that. If you see Prabhupada, when they went to this Fisher's mansion in Detroit, the owner of that family, owner of that mansion, took Prabhupada inside and he showed him, "Swamiji, I heard that for ISKCON temple you want to buy a place. Here is a place. See my bungalow, palace," he said. And Prabhupada went with Lekha Shrimati Mataji and Ford. Who is the Ford? Ambarish Prabhu. On either side, when he walked inside, he saw the lake behind. He showed them, "Just see how beautiful lake." And then Prabhupada saw everything. And then he told the owner, was happy that Swamiji seems to be happy. He's going to pay a big money. And Prabhupada said, "This palace is fit for a king to live, Maharaja to live," he said. And the owner was saying, "Yes, yes, it's true," he said. And Prabhupada said, "But we are not kings, we are beggars." "We don't have much money." And then that man said, "No, no, Swamiji, we will give you a reasonable price, don't worry." Prabhupada said, "Can you give me a donation?" he asked him. Can you imagine? And that man looked up and, "What are you talking? This is $23 million, he said. And Prabhupada bargained with him and brought it down to $3 million. And that man agreed. And immediately Prabhupada told Mataji and Ford Prabhu, "Do you have money with you?" They had money with them. "Pay it immediately." On the spot he paid. And the property became Krishna's property. And Prabhupada came out of the house. And then after it was purchased, Prabhupada smiled and told them, "Just see, I went inside with an empty hand. I came out with an empty hand. And this property now belongs to Krishna now." That's why I am a sadhu, Prabhupada said. He is a pakka sadhu, you see. He is not possessing, attached to anything. After 1 week, the man came with a big truck to take all this, because the taps and other fittings he had made, they were all like gold-plated, silver-plated. And he said, "At least let me take those things." Some of them. He said, "I don't know, Swamiji, what jadu we did. And I gave a $23 million wala palace and $3 million. But it was Krishna magic. Krishna worked through Prabhupada to convince him like this. So, in this way, to become a devotee of the Lord, one must be completely cleansed of all mental attachment. The qualification is called Vairagya. So, he was asking about special mercy. Yes, you can pray for special mercy if you desire so. Get it. Love of Krishna is not easy to obtain, because by this one can purchase Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed this love of Krishna to anyone and everyone, even to two drunkards, Jagai and Madai. So if someone who has nothing to possess says, "I have renounced everything," what is the meaning of renunciation? But if someone has something, then he renounces it, then his renunciation is meaningful. Like imagine I come to your house and say, "I renounce this television. I renounce this umbrella." Does it make any sense? It doesn't. We don't own it in the first place. Similarly, in this world also we all don't own anything to renounce. Huh? But there's only one thing we have to renounce. Anybody can say what? He's saying our attachments, he's saying. Yes, our attachments are our free will or our false ego. That we have to renounce. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he received the love of God very easily. That's what Prabhupada is saying, Lord, love of Krishna is not an easy thing to obtain, because by this love one can purchase Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed this love of Krishna to anyone and everyone. He is quoting that. At this time, there were two Jagais Madais, but at the present moment, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his process of teaching, so many Jagais and Madais are being delivered. Through whom? Through Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is saying that. In the last part, we are coming to this. As long as I think I belong to this family, I belong to this nation, to this religion, this color, there is no possibility of becoming Krishna conscious. As long as one thinks that one is American, Indian, African, all that he says. One is attached to material designations, but I am spirit soul and all these attachments belong to the body. But I am not this body. This is the essence of understanding. I am not this body. Then whose father or whose mother am I? The Supreme Father and Mother is Krishna. We are simply playing the parts of father, mother, sister, brother, as if on stage, drama stage. Maya, the material nature, is causing us to dance, telling us, you are a member of this family and a member of this nation. Thus we are dancing like monkeys, says. He's saying. And then he says a very important point in page 182 further. The most essential education is that which enables one to become free from the bodily concept of life. But unfortunately, scientists, philosophers, politicians and other so-called leaders are misleading people so that they become more attached to the body. And then he talks about 8.4 million species and birds, bees, everything, how we should rise above it. See, education should be for emancipation, not for entanglement. All of you repeat this sentence. Education is for
emancipation.
Not entanglement. This sentence is my sentence. I have made it to remember it like this. Why? Because the modern day education, although it may provide a software job, you can fill up your belly, which is good, but it doesn't provide food for the soul. It doesn't help a person to get liberated from this world and go back to Godhead at the time of death, if you see. Because the focus of modern education is matter. The focus of Shastra is spirit. The Shastras talk about the life beyond this material world, the spiritual world. And also how to live our life in this world. Both the Shastras talk. Whereas the college education doesn't even teach you how to live your life. It mostly teaches you about study of matter. The nature of study of matter is, the more you focus on matter, it increases more and more and more. It increases the ignorance, because matter is dark, spirit is light. In a matter, the material objects of the world are temporary, whereas spiritual objects are permanent. And matter is misery producing, spirit is bliss producing. Matter is like bamboo pleasure, spirit is like sugarcane pleasure. These differences are there. So when you try to go deeper and deeper in matter, the more we go deeper in matter, the more we suffer also. Because matter is ignorance and spirit is knowledge, you see. Satchidananda, we say, no? So, because of this, in this world, we find modern education focuses on 8 things. What are they? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Those who have to go to college at 8 o'clock, please take your prasadam. And then you can come, yes. I may go another 10 minutes, I think. Those have to go to college at 8 o'clock, please go for your prasad. Same place where you all had a lecture. Please take prasad. See, material world is a world of law. Spiritual world is a world of love. So you want law or love? So you have to go from law to love. Isn't it? And who is putting the law in the material world? Mayadevi. If you don't follow her laws, she gives slaps. Isn't it? Whereas spiritual world is the world of love. Exchange of love. But the modern day education doesn't speak one word about love. It's studying that matter. And the soul can only enjoy life truly when he experiences spiritual love. Otherwise, we love dead matter. Like it is said, we should love people and use things. But the modern education teaches you to use people and love things. And love things means what? Dead matter. They teach you how to love matter. Love touchpad and love BlackBerry mobile. Love a laptop. Love a beautiful big car. Isn't it? So they teach you to love things. And use people like machines. Use wife like a sex machine. Use your employees in the company simply like some factors in a mathematical equation. Like, you know, in the weaver's company, they say, you know, 1800 pairs of hands, they say. Because they are only concerned about what? Two hands which do the weaving. If you see in the company language, they say, we have got 1800 pairs of hands. Because the hand does the weaving, that's all they talk about. They are least concerned about the human being. So in this way, metal education makes you become very exploitative. They always, the whole point is how to utilize matter to exploit it to increase our comforts. That's the attitude. The very attitude is wrong actually. Whereas the spiritual knowledge teaches you how to take everything and use in Krishna service selflessly. The very beginning is selfless. Just the opposite. That's why Prabhupada is saying here that the attachment comes because of material knowledge. Actually, in the material world, all people know is only material attachment. And then last, Papa is saying, if you examine, Krishna has two engagements, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya dushtutam, giving protection to sadhus and the devotees and killing the demons. Krishna gave protection to Pandavas and Vrishnis, because they were devotees, and he also killed demons like Kamsa, Agasur, Bakasur, etc. Of the two engagements, his killing of demons was his major occupation, he's saying. If you examine how much time he devoted to killing and how much time he devoted to protecting, we shall find that he devoted more time to killing. Similarly, those who are Krishna conscious devotees, they also should kill. How? Not by weapons, but by logic, by reasoning and by education. If one is a demon, we can use logic and arguments to kill his demoniac propensities and turn him into a devotee, a saintly person. Especially in this present age Kali Yuga, people are already poverty stricken and physical killing is too much for them. So they should be killed by argument, reasoning and scientific spiritual understanding. Like that he's saying. Nice point. And then he's saying, the universal affairs are going on so nicely when the sun is rising just on time, the seasons are changing, seasonal fruits and flowers making their appearance at the appropriate season. When do you get the mango fruit? In summer season, isn't it? When do you get the watermelon? Summer season. Because it's a summer season, it's hot, so Krishna says, please take some water and be happy. He's so kind. He doesn't give watermelon in winter season. Although some foolish people produce all fruits in all seasons, you know. But Krishna knows which fruit to give naturally. Thus there is no mismanagement. But how are these things going on so nicely if there is no controller? If we see any establishment going on very well, we immediately understand that the manager, director or controller of the institution is expert. Similarly, if we see the universal affairs going on nicely, we must know that behind them is a good controller. And who is that controller? That controller is Krishna. As said in Bhagavad Gita, Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti Srita Sacharacharam. Therefore, Kunti addresses him as Vishvesha, the controller of the universe. People are interested only in pictures of Krishna embracing Radharani that depict the dealings of Radha and Krishna to be like those of ordinary boys and girls. They don't understand Krishna. Such obnoxious pictures should be avoided. Krishna is the supreme controller. Let there be a picture showing how Krishna is controlling the whole universe. That kind of picture is wanted, not these cheap pictures. Then he's saying, unless the living force is present within the body cannot move. And then he's talking about Shirodaksha Vishnu Paramatma.
And then the para below, Prabhupada is saying, the fourth line, the next para. Arjuna was a devotee and wanted to see the universal form. Krishna showed it to him, but that was not his actual form. A person may dress himself as a king, but his real nature, appearance is shown at home. Similarly, Krishna's real form is seen at home in Vrindavan. And all other forms are expansions of his plenary portions. That is saying. So, like here Prabhupada says that Prabhupada was very much stressing on, first of all, teaching the students to know Krishna is the supreme controller. He expands as, you know, Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradaksha Vishnu, and he expands as Matsyavatar, Kurmavatar, Varahavatar, Narsingavatar and all that. He creates the material universes. And how he, as Paramatma, is witnessing our activities. What is Jiva? What is Krishna? What is the relationship? These things should be taught first. Then you come to Vrindavan Leela. After that, like we do in Utkarsh at the end of the year. Whole year we teach very basic. Then in Utkarsh we talk about spiritual work. So Prabhupada is saying here, foolish people don't read philosophy, but they directly want to jump to 10th canto and talk about rasa dance and things like that. It's foolishness, he says. So we should, with logic and reason, we should kill their demoniac propensities and their misconceptions. And India is an ocean of misconceptions about religion. So we should destroy that. We should dry up that ocean. Because people are so foolish. People say karma hi puja hai. This is one misconception. Similarly, people think Radha and Krishna relationship is like boy-girl relationship. Sometimes two lovers, boy and girl, they come to temple and take darshan of Radha Krishna, thinking that they are also doing something like us. They don't know that what kind of personality is Krishna. Krishna and Radharani are non-different. Krishna is Shaktiman, Radharani is Shakti. The sun and sunlight cannot be separated. Neither Radha and Krishna are one person only. But people don't know any siddhanta, any philosophy. They are so foolish. So Prabhupada is saying, let there be a picture showing how Krishna is controlling the universe. That is why that Mahavishnu picture is there. You have seen? Surrounded by all universes. Prabhupada appreciated that very much. In this way, but why is he saying all these things? If you have to preach to a lot of people, then you should be able to give more time for Krishna. That's one reason why people take to renounced order, so they can give all the time for Krishna. That is the main goal for which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to reach out to people, giving all his time. And one has to develop a higher taste in order to give up the lower taste. Then only one can. You will see in the next verse, Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit. Kunti is saying, Krishna, let my mind flow like a Ganges towards you, without any stoppage. And just like Ganges goes and mixes in the ocean, let my mind go to your lotus feet. By that she is praying in the next verse. By developing that higher taste, we can give up the lower taste. Either is saying. So this verse is about Sneha Pash and Mimam Chindi. Sneha Pash, which keeps us continuing the term of birth and death in this world. Such a Sneha Pash is useless. Most of the people are sentimental in this world. Sometimes your family may be a happy family. You know, man is good, woman is good, his children are good. And they are all sitting in their home on a Sunday, you know, watching TV, some nice movie. And then cinema music is going on in the kitchen. Lady is cooking some nice food, which they can share at 12 o'clock or so. Like, you know, I remember in our days before becoming Krishna conscious, in home also you get some kind of special type of fun. Being at home, you know, crunching some, eating some crackjack biscuits, you know, eating some potato chips, you know, watching TV, relaxedly sitting with parents. Although this fun is very enjoyable fun, only problem is temporary. It cannot last for all time. That's why we have to do our homework of Krishna consciousness. So we can go to the spiritual world and be happy forever. You see? So, this kind of family attachment gets deepened when people spend time with each other talking about mundane affairs. And Prabhupada teaches us how we can talk about our spiritual affairs in spiritual world. And spiritual knowledge. That's why he's talking about education. Education should emancipate us, not entangle us. Modern education is a big entanglement. Modern education, because everybody is put on a groove. And you cannot come out of the groove very easily. run, 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 catch, 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 catch the train, good job, good job, good job, earn money, earn money, earn money, store money, buy a flat, take a loan. Everybody is running in the same rat race. So, Prabhupada's books are like, you know, enlightening people and saving them from, you know, gliding to hell. Everybody is, the modern day scenario is getting more and more worse. And they are opening more colleges nowadays, you know that? Everywhere. They are opening more colleges, feeding people more mundane education. While the temples in India, there is no dearth of temples. But temples are all empty, many places. Spiritual education is not given. Why? Because everybody is becoming materialistic. Huh? Materialistic and worrying about the body. So Prabhupada says in one another purport, worrying about the material body and neglecting the soul is dharmasya glani, he says. This is dharmasya glani, degradation of religion. You know, caring for the cage and neglecting the parrot. Like that. That's going on everywhere. So all of you, there is a great expectation from all of you. Because you know the knowledge. You have to hold this knowledge in your intelligence and go and preach it. And you know, bring more and more people to the Lord of feet of Krishna. Shall Prabhupada ki? Or Bhakta Vrinda ki? Thank you very much. Mangalarti. Those who have to go to college, you can go, no problem. If you have to get ready and go. So your college started 2 days ago, 3 days ago?